This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Wine and Dine in LA with Anush. Thank you for spending your evening with me. Today, we're going to talk about a very interesting subject, cognac. We're going to learn what it is, where it's made, and what does the name mean. Our guest today is a very good friend of mine. She's a cognac educator. Today, I have Irina Panamarenko with us. Hi, Irina. How are you?
Hi, Anush. Good to be here with you.
Thank you so much for joining. Before we dive deep into the subject of cognac, I introduced you as a cognac educator. What is cognac educator and what does it take to become one?
Well, this is a program that that is administered by the Cognac Bureau, which is the body that governs the production and the rules of the cognac appellation. So they pick 12 people every year or thereabouts, and they bring them all to the city of Cognac, where we spend a week learning about cognac, tasting cognac, and just learning everything there is to know about it. And then my mission is to educate people about this drink, what cognac is, how it is to be consumed, and just spreading the message.
Wonderful. Well, I mean, we couldn't have a better person to tell us all about cognac. Cognac is a very popular drink amongst Armenians, and I think not only Armenians. We Armenians are producing brandy, which during the Soviet time, cognac. So, and cognac is a brandy, like we are going to tell us. So I'm sure this topic will interest everyone. Let's start from the beginning, the history of cognac. When did it start? How did it start?
Well, the area where cognac is, and let's start from the beginning. Cognac is a place. There is actually a city in France that is named Cognac. It's, if you think about France and its western coast, it is about in the middle of its western part. So cognac, the drink that is the brandy that is labeled cognac, can only be produced in the area surrounding the city of Cognac. So brandy that's made outside of that area cannot be called cognac. So yes, I know that in Eastern Europe and in Armenia, many people refer to brandy as cognac. That is technically incorrect. So even Armenian brandy that is imported into the United States cannot be called cognac because the United States respects the French law and only calls cognac brandy that comes from cognac. So how did it come about? The area around cognac used to produce a lot of wine, but wine is not a stable drink. And during the Age of Exploration, which is approximately 16th century, people needed alcohol to take on their long sea voyages, and because they needed something safe to drink. And wine would eventually spoil, so the Dutch actually decided to start distilling the wines from the area to make them more stable and to reduce the volume for shipping, because it's cheaper to take a smaller volume of liquid. So they started distilling the wines from the area. And they treated it as basically a kind of a wine concentrate. So they would consume it diluted with water. They thought that they would just evaporate some of the water, and then they would dilute it back with water to get the wine. So that's how cognac came about. And then because it was shipped in oak barrels, people actually discovered that oak barrel storage improved the taste quality of the drink. So that was kind of a happy coincidence, and this is how cognac came about.
It is actually, it's very interesting how, you know, saving, I guess, money, resources, and making sure that the wine is stable, they came up with this brilliant drink. And just like I guess any other discoveries, you know, they're made accidentally. So this was a great accident that they made into a nice drink.
Yeah, and actually the word brandy comes from the Dutch word that means burnt wine. So brandy is burned wine, brandewine is what the Dutch called it. So that got shortened to brandy in English. So any drink that is made by distilling wine can be called brandy.
Mm-hmm. What about distilling other fruit? Would it be still called brandy or it will be?
In a wider sense, yes. They're also called brandies, but typically you would say fruit brandy. So you would qualify the word brandy. You would say, cherry brandy or apple brandy, et cetera. But just the word brandy just means distilling grape wine. Mm-hmm. But yes, of course, we can talk about such fruit brandy as Calvados, which is apple brandy from the north of France, and it's very famous. There are fruit brandies.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going into another subject, which is also another interesting topic that we can have another show about, talk about other distilled spirit and other brandies that are made from fruit and from different parts of the world, because it's a very exciting topic as well. But going back to cognac, the brandy made in cognac, do they have to have particular grapes, or any grapes can be made into cognac?
No. The rules of any European wine or spirits appellation are going to be fairly strict. So the rules are going to define what types of grapes go in, how much you can plant. Everything's controlled. All stages of production, from planting to releasing the bottle, are controlled. So, yeah, there are a handful of grapes that can be grown for cognac, but in practice, there's pretty much one grape that goes into the production. So it's about 98% of total vineyard in cognac is planted to just one grape, which is Uni Blanc. It is a grape that actually became very popular after the vineyards of France were devastated by phylloxera in the 19th century. Phylloxera is a pest that killed pretty much all European vineyards. And after that, the vineyards had to be grafted onto American rootstock. So the makeup of the varieties in Europe changed quite a bit, including cognac. So this particular grape proved to be best for grafting. And it just kind of took over. It produced the wine that the people in cognac needed, that is high acidity and low alcohol, because the concentration happens during distillation. So the vast majority of cognac is made from Uni Blanc. And then there are a few other grapes. You can find some cognacs made with Folle Blanche and Colombard.
Mm-hmm. Did you, on your trip to cognac, did you have a chance to try any of the cognac that have been made before phylloxera with more than those grapes? Or have you ever tasted anything to compare?
Yes, I've tasted cognacs that are made with other grapes, but I don't think I've tasted pre-phylloxera cognac, because that would be like over 130 years old. And mm-hmm. Some of those cognacs still exist, but they're very, very precious, and they're used in tiny quantities in very high premium blends. So it typically wouldn't be something.
That would be cool to try, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Sometimes once in a while a house would release something that's over 100 years old, but a bottle would cost tens of thousands of dollars for a bottle, and it would be like very limited in quantity. But I've tasted, I've tasted cognacs that are made with other grapes. Some houses still grow other grapes and produce other grapes and make cognac with other grapes. There's actually one cognac house that specifically does not use this number one grape, the Uni Blanc, and only uses the older, the traditional grapes, which are the Folle Blanche and Colombard primarily. Yes, they do have somewhat, you can tell it's a different grape, basically.
Mm-hmm. From the flavor. So, okay, we figured out what grapes goes into making cognac. How is it made? What is the process of making cognac?
Well, first of all, remember that cognac is a distillate of wine. So the first thing is making wine. And the grapes are harvested. They're harvested when they're still not very ripe, because the idea is you need wine that is low in alcohol and high in acidity, which is kind of the opposite of what you want for regular wine. You want grapes that are concentrated in flavor, so you want them fully ripe. But for distillation, you don't want full ripeness, because the concentration is going to happen during distillation. That's where we achieve that. Then after the wine is made, the distillation period begins. It happens over the winter, and the distillation has to be over by March 31st. There's another rule that is stipulated in the regulations, so that the wine doesn't go bad. So the wine is distilled. It's double distilled in a copper pot still, which is called.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. For someone who doesn't know what the distillation process is, like, how can you explain it in like a kitchen cooking terminology? Let's say, like, simplified.
Basically, the distillation is based on the difference in evaporation and boiling temperatures for water and ethanol. So water boils at 100% at 100 degrees Celsius, and ethanol boils at something like 70-something degrees Celsius. I'm sorry, I don't remember the Fahrenheit. So ethanol, the spirit, begins evaporating before the water.
So they're boiling it all together in different. It's like a copper pot, and then the water is boiling.
Yeah, the wine is boiling in the copper pot. The pot is heated, and the spirits, the alcohol, begins to boil at 70 something degrees, and it begins evaporating, and then it's collected and cooled down, and there you have it. You have alcohol, and then the water is left in the pot. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and you do that twice, because on the first run you get a liquid that is about 30% alcohol. So you distill it a second time, and you get higher concentration of alcohol. Then it's put into a barrel for aging.
Wow. That is a time-consuming process, but
The total run takes about 24 hours, but you have to constantly refill the pot, right? You have to distill all the wine you have, and yes, it's a batch process. So you distill a batch, you clean the pot, and you put another batch of wine, and then you clean it. So it's a laborsome process, yes, indeed, and you have to go through all your wine before March 31st.
I was going to ask, you mentioned that, why do you have to do that before March 31st? What will happen if...
You can distill it after March 31st, you just can't call it cognac. You can call it brandy. But the idea behind the limit is that the wine that's destined for distillation cannot be preserved with sulfur dioxide, which is a typical method of preservation in winemaking. You cannot use any in wine for distillation, because that will produce off flavors during distillation. Therefore, the wines have to be kept cool, and they have to be used up fast. So hence, there are limits on the distillation period.
Oh, that makes sense. So that because the wine spoils if it stays longer for a certain period of time without any additives. So they want the cognac to be tasting fresh tasting ripe.
Yes, at least initially. Now you can preserve wine just by chilling it down. Yes, some people are disputing this rule, but that was the idea when the rules were put in place back in the 30s.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess they made the rules to make things right, but yes, with modern refrigeration and other systems, I think the dates could be pushed, but you know, sometimes it's just easier to conform to the rules and get things done right. All right, so after the distillation, then the twice, distilling it twice, then the spirit goes into an oak barrel. Any oak barrel? Is there a particular reason for it to be one type or the other? What happens next? No.
The rules in cognac just state oak, because of course when the rules were written, no one would ever think that any oak other than the oak from the nearest forest, which is the Limousin forest, would be used. And it still is. It's going to be French oak, mostly from the Limousin forest, and there's another forest that they use sometimes that's called Troncé. But yes, it is going to be French oak. There are a couple of houses that do finishes and other types of oak, but the rules just say oak. So mm-hmm. The cognac has to age in oak for a minimum of 2 years. So after 2 years of oak aging, you can call the spirit cognac.
I see. Does the oak barrel, because there is a, you know, sometimes winemakers prefer to use brand new barrels, used barrels, half new, age a little bit, half used. Is there a typical style, or it depends on the how cognac house? What do they choose to do with the type of the barrels?
Yeah, certainly the styles play a role, but the most typical treatment for the new spirit is to put it in new oak for several months. So typically new spirit starts in new oak, and then it's moved to used oak. So the new spirit extracts a lot from the new oak, like the flavors, the aromas from the oak, and then it sort of... it gradually matures and mellows out in used barrels.
Mm-hmm. You know what I also wanted to ask you? So after distilling the wine, what color is the spirit? Is it yellow? Is it clear wine? Is it like vodka?
It is completely clear. Any spirit, any distilled spirit comes out clear. Anything, not just brandy, anything else.
So then when they put the spirit into the barrel, is that how the cognac becomes brown or golden?
Because it extracts color from the oak. That's how brown spirits, you know, we typically distinguish between brown spirits and clear spirits. Clear spirits are typically unaged. That's why they're clear. And brown spirits take on color from aging in barrels.
That is a very interesting point, because I think I've heard a few people ask, you know, they wonder, it's like, okay, if it's distilled, you know, do they add in color to make the spirits brown? Do they add in caramel or, you know, what happens? So thank you for clarifying that. This is such an interesting topic to discuss. So many questions. We will pick up from where we left after the break. And I think when we come back, I'd love for you to share what does it mean on the label, like when it says VS or VSOP or other the letters, is there any importance or significance to them? So all of that after the break. Thank you so much. We'll see you shortly.